In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame edition of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. It's episode 62. They say, I think Bob Ryan, the great Boston Globe columnist, said it's just no matter what you say about the popularity of football or any other sport, this discussion about the Hall of Fame, who cares about the Football Hall of Fame?
No.
Who cares about the Basketball Hall of Fame?
No one cares about any other Hall of Fame but the baseball.
This one. And it creates an incredible conversation. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. And obviously, Big Papi David Ortiz, the only player elected in this time around. I think 77.9% of the ballot. First ballot Hall of Famer.
So he was close. We talked about that on the last episode.
Yeah,
it was going to be close.
We knew that, the polling that they do was could be off by as much as 10%. So the plus or minus put him right around 75, and he got in it, and he was the only one. Let's just start, you know, I mean, so much of the debate's already happened. Give me a general impression of whether you think it's deserved or not.
I think so. I mean, listen, there's no concrete evidence. I'll just say that. We know what we're talking about.
Well, he was on the report as maybe a positive in 03
right.
or whatever.
But as far as, like, concrete evidence, tried and true, you know, there's really nothing, right? He wasn't ever, just like Clemens, just like Bonds, there's really nothing. He was never suspended. So in the court of baseball, he wasn't ever tried and convicted. Yes, he does. He on the pure fact alone, I mean, he is by far one of the most clutch performers in baseball history. And when it mattered, too, on the biggest stage against the biggest teams, you know, the one being biggest, the Yankees, against the biggest performers too, Mariano Rivera. You know, I mean, he is, and you know, they love him. He is a character. He's a character in himself. He's Big Papi. You know, how many players can go into the Hall of Fame with a nickname, like the nickname? People don't even call him David Ortiz or David Arias.
Right.
Big Papi.
But think about all the negatives that can derail reputations. I mean, he was in a situation where he was shot. He's divorced. You know, very recently.
I noticed that when he hugged, there was some woman's. Yeah,
it's kind of sad to me, actually, that his wife was there for him all the way through isn't there. But
he pulled the George Lopez.
The point is that a lot of things that might have derailed other reputations have not derailed him. He's still so beloved. And I will tell you, I was there on opening day in 2013 at home after the marathon bombings when he said, "This is our bleeping city." And at first I was like, honestly, it's amazing how things have changed in less than 10 years, how I was horrified that he said that.
Right.
But then I realized the reaction to it was such a risk to do, but it really resonated with the pride and the intensity of the moment.
Right.
And it will be something that no one who was ever there or watching it will ever, I mean, seriously, ever forget. It transcended sport.
And don't think for a minute that didn't factor into 100%. The equation.
Yeah, because you said a really interesting point that should be the sort of the springboard, because you have the steroid era, which is the problem, right? And why are some people guilty and others aren't? I mean, you said Bonds and Clemens never tested positive, so why did they get 66% and 65% on their last year of eligibility, and Ortiz gets in on his first ballot?
Character. That's what it comes down to.
So it's a popularity contest.
Everybody, when I say everybody, I'll put quotation marks around it, right? Everybody hated Barry Bonds. He was like the Ted Williams of the generation, right? But Ted Williams got in the Hall of Fame. And Clemens, obviously, you know, everybody loved Clemens, but whenever all the smoke started simmering, he just went on the total offensive. He came right out and said he didn't give a rat's ass about the Hall of Fame. I mean, he said it flat out.
He even said after the vote this time.
After this time,
he said, I didn't play baseball to get into the Hall of Fame.
And you know, that's totally bull crap.
Right.
Nobody that plays professional baseball
doesn't want to be in it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that is your headstone. But what is anyone going to remember you by?
Right. One of the best things I saw, you know, obviously social media exploded, but somebody said, you know, the person with the most hits in the history of the game, the person with the most home runs, the person with the most Cy Youngs, those three people are not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and Bonds has what, like seven MVPs?
Yeah.
I think no one's got more than that.
No. So how do you reconcile it? I mean, to me, I've said this. I'm old school in the sense that I don't like the era of the steroids because I think it really disrupted the integrity of the records. But having said that, you know, when you talk about somebody, you know, we talked off air about Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter. Now, do I think Derek Jeter took steroids? I probably don't think so, but I can't say that anybody didn't. Because right. I just know that, like, in the conversations we've had with ex-players and ex-coaches, I'm pretty sure that even the second baseman that you didn't know about was taking it. And the reason was mainly just because if they had no power, they needed to have some power, or they wanted to just be able to be in the lineup every day, and it was good for recovery.
Or they're taking them, but they don't look like Jose Canseco. I mean, look at how long Cal Ripken Jr. played for.
So you're saying he did it too?
Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? I mean, that the problem is, and you beat the horse, you can keep beating it, is that generation of players is, no matter what, you're going to have somebody thinking it.
Right. So there,
but then you got Mariano Rivera, who's a unanimous choice for the Hall of Fame.
So there are two tiers, right? And this is where it gets interesting, because you have Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, where the argument is they would have been in even if they hadn't.
But they also came around earlier, too.
Yes, that's a different conversation. Let me finish this point. You have Clemens and Bonds, who they say, you know, even they were Hall of Famers before they even started using, right? But then you have the players who you know were elevated because of the era, right? Whether it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, you could say
Manny.
You could say Manny and A-Rod potentially were
Sosa?
Hall of Fame caliber players. Sosa's one, but even a guy like Billy Wagner. That guy was so juiced up. I mean, it's hard to argue that he wasn't.
He played with Ken Caminiti, right?
He would have been an average pitcher. You know, I mean, like, there's a bunch of guys that you know that were elevated just because of the era.
When they played, that they were torqued up,
right?
You know, I mean, you could legit see it. It was like they were jacked on something.
And so it's easy to separate, in my opinion, sort of the ones that belong in the conversation and the ones who don't, right? And Clemens and Bonds. I think Manny, you know.
What about a player like Andrew Jones? I mean, he has Hall of Fame numbers and no one even talks about
him. Which is weird because he was always kind of chubby. I never would have pegged him as a juicer.
But he also went like a stretch that he was just unstoppable for a stretch where his numbers were inflated, and then he kind of, you know,
disappeared.
Right. But he put him up over a long period of time and played for a long period of time.
I like the exclusivity of the Hall of Fame, but I think this era is a major problem because I just don't know how you can go. Like, I understand they're going to punish Pete Rose until he dies. He's never going to be in the Hall of Fame as long as he's alive. But when it comes to Bonds and Clemens, it's really difficult because they are such reviled by a huge portion of the baseball loving population that even if they make it, what's the celebration going to be like? I mean, Bonds is still not somebody we even see. I mean, I don't even know what he's doing with his life. Clemens, you know, he pops up here and there.
Well, his kids are still playing baseball, so he's here and there. I mean, the other problem I have with this whole thing is you have people in the Hall of Fame like Bud Selig, Torrey, those guys that benefited from this. I mean, Bud Selig literally turned a blind eye to the steroid problem for over a decade.
Yeah, it was all under his watch, basically.
All under his watch. And you can't tell me you didn't know this was happening. And again, like, also the writers, the same writers that voted for these guys for All-Stars, I mean, not All-Stars, for MVPs and Cy Youngs at the back end of their career, when you know there was smoke. I mean, everyone joke about the size of Barry Bonds' head, right? But you voted for him for an MVP, now you don't want to vote for him for the Hall of Fame.
Right. I mean, listen, I was at ESPN in the late 90s, and everybody knew there was something going on. The question is, how do you put it in context? And for me, like, I still go back to, I mean, listen, Bonds and Clemens and the Hoffman, ultimately, I don't care. I'm just bummed that, like, I still feel like Babe Ruth's home run record, Roger Maris's, I feel like they still would be there. I do. And that's the thing that bugs me, is that if you X out that 115-year stretch and then put back in all those records, they stand for 140 years. Like, I don't like asterisk culture, but that's the one thing I can't reconcile is how baseball, I want to look at, you know, I know there was 144 game schedule and then 162, but I want to look at the integrity of the 150 years and be able to look at that timeline, see there were undulations, there were ups and downs, more dead ball era, live ball era, right. how it impacts it. But for some reason, this era brought you 70 home runs.
Right.
You know, and that's bull crap. You know what I mean? It's garbage, in my opinion.
Yeah, how do you go from 49 to like 73 in a season? I mean, Bonds hit 317 home runs from 2000 to 2007, and he only played 14 games in 2005. Right? And you got to remember, in some of those seasons, he was walking 198, 100, over 200 times.
Right. His home run per at-bat ratio was insane.
So literally, if he saw a pitch to hit, I mean, you remember when he hit the 73 home runs? If he saw a pitch to hit that year, he hit it out of the park. It was like a joke. It was like watching a slow pitch softball game.
I know. He had 177 walks and 73 home runs.
In 2001.
Yeah, and 93 strikeouts. I mean, basically almost every, I mean, so he had 73 home runs out of 156 hits, so roughly half his hits were home runs. That's my point. It's a caricature of a baseball season. And I think that whether he's in the Hall of Fame or not, I mean, that can be decided by other people. But to me, like, how do you long-term reconcile the records? And that's what bugs me.
I don't think you can. I mean, you can't come up. Maybe like some nerd can come up with an algorithm to figure it out, and you could drop numbers off of them. But yeah, you can't. Okay. You either got to just put them in or leave them out. And I mean, listen, everybody knows those two, especially. We said it; they had the talent, man. You saw these guys when they were dominating when they were string beans.
Yep, 100%.
Dominating.
Listen, Roger Clemens, 86, went 14-0 to start the season.
They could have played 14 years and made the Hall of Fame. Instead, they played 22 years and made the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so listen, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I don't know, just for S's and G's, I'll just sort of tick down the list and you tell me if you think they belong. And then, you know, you tell me what you think. Barry Bonds.
Yes.
Roger Clemens.
Yes.
Scott Rolen.
I'm surprised his numbers are so high.
It's the Gold Gloves, and I think there's some. They were talking the other day. I was listening to somebody on sports radio that there's some metric that the sabermetric.
He's like the Ron Santo, but not as good as Ron Santo.
But I mean,
Santo.
He got 63.2% of the vote. He got more than Curt Schilling. He got more than everybody. He got double what A-Rod got.
Well, I mean, the mascot would have got more than Curt Schilling.
You know, we'll talk to Rico Bronya, who played with him. My answer is a firm no. He's not a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, he doesn't stand out to me as like that guy. He was in the height of when I was watching baseball. I still am, but like, you know, when you were really into it.
But he's not a Hall of Famer. Curt Schilling.
No. Curt Schilling's getting killed by the court of public opinion.
The thing is he a nice man? No. But does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? I think he does. Todd Helton.
You know, that's an interesting one. A lot of people say no because his numbers were inflated, but...
He's inflated for two reasons, right? He was in the Royd era and in Colorado.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying he was a user. I don't know.
Super consistent player. He hardly ever missed games.
Very likable, too.
Yeah, and everybody loved him. One team, you know, he was like the Cal Ripken Jr. of that team.
Billy Wagner's.
I think you already sealed his fate.
He's no. Andrew Jones, 41%
I say yes.
Really?
Amazingly defensive player. Yeah. Numbers are there. Longevity.
Gary Sheffield.
No, too much smoke.
Alex Rodriguez.
You know what? I'm surprised that he was only at like 34%.
I thought he'd be at 50,
I thought he'd be around 50 because he's A-Rod, right? Half the people hate him, half the people like him.
Right.
What I can't stand about A-Rod is no matter where that guy goes, we got to know about it. Oh, hey, look, A-Rod's at the Green Bay game. Who cares? You know, all right, if you're going to sit in the stands at the Green Bay game...
But he's not the one taking the pictures.
$2,000 coat.
But that's not him doing it. He's not paying a publicist.
Get rid of your $2,000 coat.
He's not paying a publicist to do it.
And who was that girl that was in front of him just trying to get in the video?
I don't know. 34.3%. Jeff Kent.
No.
Okay. Manny Ramirez.
I'm sorry, Dan Shaughnessy. What?
Manny.
No. He tested positive
three
like
times.
Five times.
Omar Vizquel.
No, he's a wife beater.
Sammy Susser.
Too much smoke.
Andy Pettit.
Tested.
Jimmy Rollins.
That's an interesting one.
Now we're going all the way down to the riffraff.
He won an MVP, but not enough. Not enough.
Bobby Abreu, no. Although for a stretch, I think he's a guy there that the era might have helped him too, and never tested.
Who, Abreu?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. He didn't hit for power, but there was
like
something
like a Raul Ibanez kind of guy.
Burley, no. Torrey Hunter.
Actually, you got to look at Burley's numbers. Burley threw a couple complete games. He perfect game. couple of Cy Youngs, I think, or at least one.
He's kind of a great pro, deserves a ton of attention, made a lot of money, good for him, not in the Hall of Fame. Torrey Hunter, I find extremely likable.
Not happening. And, the mayor of New Britain, by the way, Torrey Hunter, that's what he was known by.
New Britain had a lot of folks go through there. Yeah. That leads us to our last thing you got for a little nugget to leave us
exactly.
with.
Exactly, back when he was known as David Arias.
David Arias.
He played, before he broke into the major leagues in 1998 with the Minnesota Twins, he played for three teams in the 1997 season, High A, Double A, and Triple A. Well, he spent most of the time at Double A, 81 games in New Britain, Connecticut. For the Rock Cats, these cats rock, right? It was the New Britain Rock Cats. Now, they had some great players come through. Hunter, Justin Morneau, Michael Kadire.
The catcher, Joe Mauer.
Like everybody that came through there, the Twins came through there, right? Now, they say that you can make it in Double A, you're going to make it in the majors, right? So let's look at his numbers that year. 81 games, he had 94 hits, 45 runs. Now, this is what's going to shock you. Even though David Ortiz led the league in doubles his final year in 2016 with 48, he also had 26 doubles in 81 games in Double A this year.
Wow, with New Britain. That's just with New Britain?
Just with New Britain. 26 doubles, 2 triples, 14 home runs, 58 RBIs, 88 strikeouts.
What does that tell you about him?
26 walks. It tells you he can play.
He's a baseball. He can play.
He can play. And then he got a little bit fatter. And then he got 48 doubles because he had Fenway.
Right. And he knew how to use it.
He knew how to use it.
But it shows you well, you don't know when he started, but I mean, I guess between 96 and 03, he put on like 40 pounds. Not all of it muscle, mind you.
Those are good numbers in Double A.
Yeah, those are numbers that get you to the majors.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people called up from Double A straight to the majors with less. I mean,
that's why he was in Triple A at the end of the season, right? So
that's really interesting. So where did you dig that up? It's just you can find it online?
You can find anything online, just like you can buy anything on eBay.
That's right. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Listen, share us, watch us on YouTube, and of course, always be listening. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.